Hi, and welcome to the Conservative Roots Podcast. Today is Wednesday, January 5th, 2022. Can't believe it's 5 days into the new year already. Hope everybody had a really nice Christmas. Hope you had a nice New Year's. I hope you got to spend some time with your families, had fun, tried to have fun anyway. It's pretty quiet Christmas and New Year's for us. Did get to see some family and everything, but not too much. Everybody was kind of spread out all over the country this year, as it normally is for us. But we got together with some friends, didn't ask them their vaccine status as they came through the door, didn't require anybody to wear masks, and we're still alive, so that worked out pretty well. And hopefully everybody had a decent holiday. I know it was tough for a lot of people, but things are going to get better. Things are going to be a little bit different today, I think. I'm going to be doing a little bit more of a freestyle kind of thing where I'm not going to be reading from notes. I didn't really take any notes for today's show. I have stuff that I want to talk about. I have some websites pulled up, but it's going to be a little bit different anyway. I think I'll start off with a little story here. I live, as I'm sure a lot of you know, because I've talked about it in a lot of different podcasts, I live right across from New York City. I'm in the Hoboken, Jersey City area, and obviously deep blue, obviously filled with Democrats and the most rabid leftist Democrats you can think of. I might as well be in New York City. It's the same basic type of person. New Jersey is very mixed. If you get away from this area, if you get further away from New York City, you get a lot of people who are Republican. I grew up in Sussex County. That's mostly Republican, but where I am right now, tons of Democrats. Now, of course, with the Omicron surge, which the CDC actually revised their numbers down. You remember when they said, they started off, you had like Fauci saying that within a couple of days, like the Omicron cases were going to double. They were going to like double overnight. Now, I don't know how in the world you can just keep doubling cases overnight. I mean, you know, within a couple of weeks, the whole country's infected, but anyway, they revised it down from the new Omicron surge being accountable for like 80% of the cases, 79% I think was the actual number, all the way down into the low 20s. Now, saying that all of these cases were happening so quickly and saying it was all Omicron and saying that this was an unstoppable surge made everybody scared, made all of these places take action with new mandates and things like that, but it wasn't true. Now, when the actual data came out, when the CDC came out and said, whoops, we were wrong about this, it wasn't actually 79%. It was really more like 22%, 23% of the new cases were Omicron. Did that get reported in the mainstream news? No, of course not. You had to dig for that information. If you didn't actually go onto the CDC website, or if you didn't watch like the Gateway Pundit or something like that, you weren't even going to find that out. But of course, a lot of places in New Jersey, a lot of places in New York reinstituted mask mandates. Why? Who knows? Because as we all know, none of this works. The mask didn't work the first time. They didn't work the second time. They didn't work on the original virus. They didn't work on Delta. But now we think it's going to work on Omicron. It makes absolutely no sense, but here we go. So sure enough, just down the road in Hoboken, the mayor of Hoboken reinstituted a mask mandate. Everybody's got to wear masks indoors again. And the first couple of days, I completely avoided Hoboken altogether. It's like, I'm not going to do any shopping down there. I'm not. So I would drive further away in Jersey City to go to a supermarket there because there is no mask mandate right now in Jersey City. I'm sure there will be. I'm sure the mayor of this city is going to institute one as well. We'll see what happens. But for right now, between the two major cities right on the coast, Hoboken and Jersey City, it's only Hoboken with a mask mandate. So I just didn't go. Now, yesterday I decided, you know what, I don't have the time to drive further away to go to a store, and I only need to pick up a couple of things, so I'm going to go into the ShopRite in Hoboken and do my shopping there, because we had people coming for dinner, I was running out of time, I just had to get a couple of things. I'm like, you know, suck it up, put the mask on for 2 minutes, walk in, grab your stuff, walk out. So So I pulled into the parking lot, got out. Everybody coming out of the store is, of course, masked up. I mean, it's a mandate and everything. And I'll admit it, I put my mask on. I walked into the store. I made it about 30 feet and my conscience got to me. I was just like, you know what? No, I'm not doing this. And I took the mask off. Now, honestly, I can't even really tell you if I'm breaking a law at that point or if I'm breaking an unconstitutional mandate or what. All I can tell you is that the mayor of Hoboken decreed from on high that everybody needs to wear a mask. And the thing is that I think stores that don't enforce it are subject to fine, and I think you as an individual are subject to a fine if you don't put the mask on when told to do so by, you know, the people who own the store or police or whatever. But anyway, I took the mask off. I started walking around the store and doing my shopping as normal, getting a lot of looks from people. Now, granted, there were a lot of employees that saw me. There were, you know, people walking around putting fruit up and stocking shelves and stuff like that. They were all masked. Walked right past them. None of those people stopped me. I went around and I did my shopping. Now, attached to this shop right in Hoboken, there's a liquor store. So I had to pick up a bottle of wine. And I went in there, got my wine. Again, bunch of people looking at me. And nobody said anything. Like, nobody was looking at me like they were angry or anything else. I think more than anything, a couple people looked at me like with a little bit of shock or a little bit of surprise that somebody was just like completely ignoring the mandate. Anyway, I picked out the bottle of wine. I go up to the counter, and right at the counter, they had one of those plastic barriers up so you can't infect the person who's on the other side of the barrier, even though there's like a 10-inch circular hole drilled into the thing, all right? But they're protected because they've got this plastic up. Anyway, right on that, right in front of my eyes, right over the little credit card scanner, is this big sign. And the sign says, there's a mask mandate for all indoor locations, but you know, decreed by the governor, or the mayor of Hoboken, and we will not serve you if you do not have a mask on. It does not matter what your vaccination status is, you must wear a mask or you will not be served. So I put the wine down and the woman rang it up. She said, thank you very much. I got served anyway. Took my stuff, went to the self-checkout, checked myself out, walked out of there as the only person not wearing a mask with a mask mandate in a store that had 200 people in it. I'm not trying to brag or anything like that, but what I am trying to tell you is that resistance is possible. You don't have to do what they say. Now, if they had come up to me and said, put your mask on or we're calling the police, I'm not trying to get arrested. I'm not trying to get fined $500. You know, I don't want to pay $500 because I don't want to wear a mask. But it does show you that you can resist and you should resist. Maybe a couple of people saw me today and went home and said to their wife or their husband, there was a guy walking around with no mask and nothing happened to him. You know, maybe they'll try it next time. The point is that it doesn't matter how ridiculous all of this is. They're still going to try it. When did masks ever work the first time? They didn't. You know, when this whole pandemic started, I remember Fauci and I remember the CDC and everybody saying, look, everybody is going to wind up getting exposed to this. This is a highly contagious respiratory virus. Chances are most people are going to get exposed to this thing, if not all of us, at some point. And for most people, it's not going to be a big deal. We need to protect those that are the most vulnerable and try and keep it away from them. Maybe one day we can hit herd immunity and the thing will be less likely to spread, but we gotta, you know, focus on the people who are really susceptible to this kind of a thing, but we're probably all gonna get it. That's what they said in the beginning. And then, of course, things started to change. Then it went from, and that's why they said slow the spread, They didn't say stop the spread. They said, you know, 2 weeks to slow the spread, admitting in that language that it was going to spread. It was going to go all over the place, right? Then it became nobody can get it. You know, we need to try to make sure that nobody gets this illness. How did we go from everybody's going to get it to we need to make sure that nobody gets it? And if any case is bad, completely 100% unrealistic. And then, of course, you bring the vaccines in, you bring the big pharma money, and then all of a sudden that's the only way that we're going to fight this thing, not by natural immunity, not by herd immunity, which was what you said in the beginning was going to get us through this, but by everybody getting vaccine after vaccine after vaccine. That's where we are today. And in the meantime, look at all the power that they've seized. Look at all the control. Look at all the mandates. Look at all the separation of society. There was a whole list of things, of power grabs, of tyranny that we said was going to happen, that, you know, that on the conservative side, we said it was going to happen. And they all said, that's nothing but a conspiracy theory. You're nuts. You're crazy. And they just keep proving us right. Month after month that goes by, we're proven right. Something that we said a year ago, that this is absolutely going to happen. This is the direction things are going. We can see it. And they would say, you're nuts. No, this is never going to happen. It all came true. And the sad thing is that people sit here and they watch this. And, you know, with everything that we said that came true, they still comply without question. They don't even question it. Everything that we said came true. And I'll go through a list of it pretty, you know, in a couple of minutes, and we'll go over some of the things, you know, the conspiracy theories that are true today. But the level of compliance in Hoboken is 100%. Now, granted, you don't have to wear a mask outside on the streets. They haven't gone that crazy yet. Like in Italy, my wife is from Italy. Italy now, if you go to Italy, you have to wear a mask outdoors. All right. It's insane. Even if you're walking in the neighborhood by yourself with nobody around you. In fact, my mother-in-law was actually stopped by a neighbor. She was like walking on one side of the road. The neighbor was on the other side of the road. There was nobody around my mother-in-law. She had her mask pulled down so she could friggin' breathe. You know, she's in her 70s. And this woman on the other side of the street, put your mask on. You're not wearing your mask properly. My mother-in-law was like, there's nobody even around me. You know, mind your business. Shut up, you know. But that's the law over there. You have to have a mask on outdoors. Just insane. So Hoboken hasn't gone that crazy yet, but absolutely no one is even questioning the mandates anymore. I mean, at least in this area. Look, I know Texas, I know you're free. Florida, I know you're free. I know you can walk around if you want to without masks. That's, you know, obviously you can if you want. It's a personal choice, but you're not mandated to. You're free. A lot of states are. But up here, you know, in this area, in this deep blue area, deep blue state, when they tell people to do something, it's without question now. These people are absolute sheep. If they could show me how a mask actually helps, that would be one thing. But the problem is that the absolute opposite is happening. You look around, you know, like when I look around Hoboken, when I look around Jersey City, stuff like that, the most people are still wearing cloth masks. Now, a lot of people are wearing the surgical mask too, but I mean, a good number of people are still wearing a homemade cloth mask or one that they bought online or whatever. But even the surgical mask, okay, you're talking about a virus particle that's like a micron, you know, wide. And the weave on these things is like 70 microns wide, okay? I mean, it's like a piece of sand going through a chain link fence. It is absolutely not going to stop it. Will it stop, you know, larger particles? Like, look, if somebody's wearing a mask and they're going to sneeze or they're going to cough or something like that, yes, I feel a little bit more protected. I would rather somebody be wearing a mask if they're going to sneeze all over me than if not. But how many times does that happen? You know, how many times are you in the store and people are that sick that they're coughing and sneezing all over you, especially since, you know, COVID happened? Used to be a lot of people, they get sick, they'd still go out and shop and stuff like that. But now if you're visibly sick, most people just stay home. So that's not really anything. I saw a guy on YouTube the other day. He put on, I think it was 6 masks, and he held up a cold mirror and he breathed and he still fogged up the mirror easily. So that means that respiratory droplets, your regular breath, went right through six surgical masks. Okay. What do you think the virus is doing? For people that are wearing one mask out on the streets trying to stop the coronavirus, if your breath gets through six surgical masks, which are even better than the cloth masks that a lot of people wear, what do you think it's doing to stop the virus? Right? Literally nothing. Now, what's funny is there's this guy, Scott Gottlieb, okay? He's a Dr. Scott Gottlieb. He used to be the former FDA chief, okay? He came out and he said that cloth masks, people just should not be wearing them because they just don't do anything to protect you. He says cloth masks aren't going to provide a lot of protection. That's the bottom line. This is an airborne illness. We understand that now. You understand that now? I mean, why would you be saying, from the very beginning of this thing, we knew that this was an airborne illness. We knew that this was a respiratory illness. Okay, so why was it okay for 2 years for people in the FDA to say, wear a mask like this and you're going to be protected? Fauci talking about wearing a mask and then two masks and then three and then back to two and back to one and all this nonsense. Remember all these ever-changing stories that they told us about masks, okay? Now he comes out and he says that a cloth one, which is what a lot of people wore, millions and millions and millions of Americans were just wearing cloth masks. He comes out now and he says that it's not going to offer you any protection, okay? And he says, now we understand that this is an airborne illness. We understand that now. No, we've understood that for the last 2 years. We've known it's an airborne illness. That's what a respiratory virus is, okay? These people should be arrested. And what's funny is you look at this guy, okay? He's the former FDA chief. What is he now? Well, he's on the board of directors at Pfizer. Do you know what his job was when he was with the FDA? He was in charge of regulating Pfizer. Let's look at some other guys here, okay? There's, Stephen Hahn. I'm looking at a little chart here. He was the former FDA commissioner in charge of regulating Moderna. Where is he right now? He's the chief medical officer of Flagship Pioneering, the venture capital firm behind Moderna. So he's working for Moderna. He used to be in charge of regulating Moderna. Now he's with Moderna. Scott Gottlieb used to be in charge of regulating Pfizer. Now he is with Pfizer. There's another guy here, Mark McClellan, sorry for that, I didn't get the first L. He was the former FDA commissioner in charge of regulating J&J, Johnson & Johnson, okay? Now, he's a member of the board of directors of Johnson & Johnson. I mean, you see this pattern? There was another guy, James C. Smith, he used to be the CEO of Reuters, you know, the news company. He was in charge of informing people about the COVID-19 vaccines, and now he's a member of the board at Pfizer. Now, you had these three guys that actually work for the FDA that are now on the boards of, you know, Moderna, Pfizer, and J&J. Now, if they were in charge at the FDA of regulating these companies, and now they're on the board of directors of those very companies after they left the FDA, what kind of job do you think that they were actually doing when it was their job to oversee and regulate those companies? Do you think that they did anything to keep us safe? Do you think that they did their job fairly? Do you think they did it without bias? Or do you think that they were always in the pocket of these big pharma companies, did exactly what they were told to do, looked the other way, and now that they did their jobs, they get a cushy job on the board of directors for millions and millions of dollars? This is absolutely insane. This is the science that you're supposed to be trusting. These are the people that you're supposed to be trusting to keep you safe and keep you healthy. So the guy that used to regulate the company now works for the company. There's nothing suspicious there at all, right? And it happened three times. Guy that regulates Pfizer is now with Pfizer. Guy that regulated Moderna is now with Moderna. Guy that regulated J&J is now with J&J. Does that sound like a coincidence to you? No, of course not. Now, lest you think that we're only talking about like a homemade cloth mask or something that people makes out of an old pair of jeans or something like that, He goes on to say the typical mask you buy in the drugstore is not really effective in keeping out the virus, which is small enough to pass through the material. That is a surgical mask. That's what you get at these places. You don't get cloth masks at a drugstore. You get the surgical mask. Now, what they're trying to do is they're trying to make you think that cloth mask and surgical mask are completely different. And they're trying to say that you can upgrade. You should upgrade to a surgical mask from a cloth and you're 95% protected. However, the only thing with that is, if you look at an article, the only one that blocks out a lot of the actual virus particles is what's known as an N95 mask, okay? And you can get those. That is not a surgical mask. The surgical mask is the ones that you see everybody wearing that's like, you know, blue on one side and white on the other. And all that's supposed to do is for surgeons that are doing surgery and they're standing over somebody, it's to stop, you know, it's to prevent them from like dropping spit into people or again, sneezing or coughing. Sometimes, you know, you cough spontaneously or whatever, and it'll block the large, droplets of spittle or whatever. Okay. What they're saying now is, you know, you can wear an N95 mask. Now, how many people do you see walking around the streets in an N95 mask? Okay. Almost nobody. Less than 0.5%. I would say almost nobody. Even if you do, Walensky is saying don't wear an N95 mask for extended periods of time because it'll cut your oxygen down. She's saying if you wear an N95 mask properly, it's very, very difficult to breathe in one. Now, that makes it effective. It's a tight seal. It doesn't have the type of porous material. So yes, it is blocking a lot more of the virus. And they're saying 95% effective at filtering out virus particles. But again, she's also saying at the same time, don't wear it for a long time because you won't be able to breathe. All right. Nobody is wearing that. Nobody is wearing that mask. They're all wearing surgical. They're all wearing cloth and they're all getting infected with COVID because they don't work. And yet, if I go to Hoboken and if I go into a store, I'm supposed to wear one of these stupid masks that don't even work because the mayor is too dumb and everybody in Hoboken is too dumb to understand the science. And we're all going to walk around with this placebo on our face saying, oh, I'm part of the solution. Well, if it didn't work for the original virus and it didn't work for the second one, Delta, why do you think it's going to work now? How many times are we going to do this? Are we going to do this for the next 5 years, the next 10 years, putting this mask on our face that doesn't work and thinking that we're stopping the virus? When is it going to be enough? All it is acquisition of power. Now, there was a great statement by Robert Kennedy Jr. I pulled this up from the Gateway Pundit. He put out a nice little statement the other day. It was like part of his call for action for 2022. Listen to what he says. Now, this is coming from a Democrat. Obviously, Robert Kennedy Jr. related to JFK Jr. Kennedy family, obviously Democrats. But this is a guy who is seeing things clearly, sounding the alarm. You know that things are bad when Democrats are starting to sound the alarm and starting to come to our side and realize what's going on, okay? All right, so here's what he says. I'm going to tell you these three things that you need to remember in this critical day and age. Number one. Once government acquires a power, it never lets it go voluntarily. Absolutely, positively, 100% true. Remember when they were when they brought in the income tax, right? They said it was just going to be for the super rich, and then they started giving it to everybody. Did that ever get recalled? Once they had that money, once they had that tons of money coming into the coffers from every single person in the country, did they ever repeal that? Did they ever repeal any of the welfare programs, right? Now that they've got mail-in voting, when they tried that in the 2020 election and they were able to steal the election with mail-in voting, look at California now, okay? Newsom just made it permanent in California with a law that got passed probably unanimously. I didn't take a look, but they have universal 100% vote by mail-in now. As he says, you know, if you still want to go and vote in person, you can, but there's no reason to because we're going to send 100% of the California citizens a mail-in ballot. Now, if that never gets reversed, California will never, ever, ever become a Republican state because what do they do with mail-in votes? right? It's all fixed, but that's what they want. Now there's eight other states, or it's either eight other states or eight states in total that are, that have this law in the books. California passed it. Be sure that probably the other eight states are going to as well. Now we're eight states out of 50 with universal mail-in ballots as law. That will never be repealed, okay, if they get that kind of a power. Second one, every power that government acquires using this pandemic as a pretense, it will ultimately abuse to the maximum effect possible. This is a rule that is as certain as gravity. Absolutely true. So we can see this with the mandates and the passports, okay? New York City has a vaccine passport now. Philadelphia, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco, all of these places. Do you think that once they have control like that, that they're ever going to let that go? That's why they keep pushing these different variants. That's why they keep trying to, you know, keep coronavirus going forever until they can get all of this instituted. If they can get a digital passport into your hands, all they're going to do then is, even if COVID does go away one day, they're going to take that digital passport and they're just going to put more and more and more information on it until it's not just for COVID anymore. Then it's going to have your life on it. It's going to have your voting record. It's going to have your medical issues. Look at your medical records. Look at Sweden, okay? People are getting microchipped. They're getting all their health information and other things and their vaccine status inserted into their hands in a microchip at this point, okay? You think that's ever going to go away now that these chips are out? Or do you think after years and years, they're going to dumb people down? They're just going to use it for that. They're going to use it for good things for the first years, right? Until everybody gets used to it. Oh, look, no, this is really good. These people have this thing. Look how nice it is that they can just quickly get scanned and be on their way and they don't have to wait and there's no lines and look, you know, it makes everything so much easier. Hey, I'm going to get one too. And then once everybody has one, then what do they start doing? And they start adding things to it. Well, we're going to add your health records. We're going to add your voting records. We're going to add whether you have a gun or not. We're going to add what you bought to the store. Whenever you go and you buy some junk food and some alcohol, we're going to see how much whiskey you're drinking. We're going to see how many Twinkies you've been eating. And we're going to find out how many times you've had to go to the doctor. We're going to find out how many times you've exercised, all that kind of stuff. It is going to be 100% total control of your life. And this is how it starts in little things like this, right? Now, here's the thing that I absolutely love that he says. Nobody has ever complied their way out of totalitarianism. Every time you comply, the demands will get greater and greater and greater. Absolutely true. And this goes back to, look at where we are right now, okay? And it started with 2 weeks to slow the spread. That was 2 years ago. Look at all the things that have happened since then. And how did they happen? Not in great leaps and bounds, but by just kicking the can down the road just a little bit, moving the goalposts just a little bit, a yard at a time. They get you to go from point A to point B, and then they let you sit at point B for a while until you're used to it, right? Until point B doesn't seem so intrusive anymore or such a big deal. Well, then they move it to point C. And then you're like, well, I don't want to go to point C. Well, no, you have to. Oh, all right. And then you get to that point, and then it starts all over again. Back in the very beginning of this pandemic, if we had said they're going to mandate that not only are you going to get a vaccine, but you're going to need that vaccine to work. If you don't get it, you're not going to be able to go into a movie theater. You're not going to be able to go to a restaurant. You're going to be fired from your job. You're not going to be able to serve in the military. Do you think anybody would have believed it? I mean, no, that's never going to happen in this country. We're way too free. We have a constitution. We have politicians to protect our freedoms. That's never going to happen. Oh, okay. Well, here we are. Because what did we do? We complied. We complied. And every time you comply, he's absolutely right. The demands get greater and greater. And here we are. So let's go back to a couple of the things that I was talking about earlier when I mentioned that we were going to talk about some of the things that we said was going to happen in the future. And they said, no, you're just a bunch of nutcases. You're conspiracy theorists. You're crazy. Okay. when this all started and we started to see that vaccinated people were also getting COVID, we saw it with our own eyes. We knew people that were getting it. And we all started saying, look, it doesn't look like the vaccinations are working because the definition of a vaccine is you take it and you're vaccinated. You know, you've got immunity from the thing. Yeah, that's why you took a vaccine in the first place, because you didn't want to get the disease. And that's what they told us in the beginning, right? They said, look, the CDC, Fauci said it, Biden said it. He'd get up there and said, you know, if you get vaccinated, you're not going to get it. You know, you're protected. The vaccines work. What are you worried about? Blah, blah, blah. And then we started saying, no, it looks like the vaccinated are still getting COVID, right? We said that they can get it and they can spread it. Now, what happened? That turned out to be true. All the liberals that sit there and called us crazy, now they have to admit it's true. Remember when that actor, what's his name? I always forget his name. Michael Rappaport. Remember that famous video was going around like on TikTok and on Instagram and on the news and everything? He's saying, you know, you told us to get the vaccines and now you're telling me I'm a super spreader? Because the vaccinated people were spreading the disease just as much. You want proof of that? Look at the cruise ships. 100% of the staff are vaccinated. 100% of the people that go onto the cruise ships have to be vaccinated as well and boosted. Everybody's got their vaccine and their booster shots and everything else. They pass the definition, right? What do they have? COVID breakouts. Well, how's that possible? How's it possible? Right? And it spreads across the ship. How is that possible if the vaccinated can't spread COVID? We were right. They were wrong. We said right off the bat that a lot of us don't want to get the shot because we're seeing all kinds of problems. We're seeing people that are getting blood clots. We're seeing people that are getting heart palpitations and heart attacks. We're seeing people that get the shot and they're sick for 2 weeks and they can't get out of bed. We're seeing people that were having nerve problems, you know, shaking and stuff like that. Now, am I saying it's everybody? No. All right. But hundreds of millions of people have gotten these vaccines and not everybody had a reaction. A lot of people just had the normal reaction that you get when you get a vaccine. That's like, you know, pain in the arm and maybe you get a mild flu for a couple of days. Okay. I'm not saying if you got the vaccine that something is definitely going to go wrong with you, but more than ever before, and you know, more people were reporting side effects and serious side effects, including death, you know, 100-fold compared to normal. That's something at least to be concerned about. And we know that we were right, because now if you want to find out what the actual reports were from Pfizer when they were testing their drugs, they're not going to release that now for 75 years. Why, if there's nothing to hide, would you hide the information for 75 years? 75 years from now, this is all going to be over. Nobody's going to even know what you're talking about, especially if the left continues to increase their power and hold office. We're never going to find out what the actual numbers really were, right? It's going to be buried. If you've got nothing to hide, if you didn't do anything wrong, publish all of your information. Let us go through it. And that would be the end of it. Obviously, if you don't want us looking at all this information for another 75 years, you're absolutely hiding something. And look at all the people today that are having issues. Look at all the kids, the young people that are having heart issues. Look at the soccer players, the professional athletes that are dropping dead of heart attacks, or at least collapsing with heart palpitations and heart issues right now. Okay? Now, you could also say, hey, maybe they had COVID and maybe this is some kind of residual issue from the actual disease and it's not from the vaccine. That is possible. All right. What I'm saying is we should be allowed to be cautious and skeptical with our own bodies. And everybody else said, no, these things are perfectly safe. There's no problems. There's no issues. Stop making a big deal out of it. Stop trying to scare people. Who turned out to be right? We did. And what did we also say? We said that it's not going to end. You're going to get a vaccine. As soon as we saw that the vaccine wasn't actually a vaccine and it wasn't actually protecting you 100% from getting infected and that you were getting infected, what did all the conservatives start saying? We started saying, look, this is not going to end. Get your shot. Okay, fine. But then there's going to be another one. And then there was. And then what do we say? Well, it's not going to end. You're going to get a third, there's going to be a third, there's going to be a fourth, there's going to be a fifth shot. Israel right now is already on their fourth shot, right? The United States now is on their third, going towards their fourth. First, they changed the definition of a vaccine, right? Fauci came out, I think he started it, and said, well, we may have to change what we define a vaccine as. Because it used to be, you took a vaccine so that you didn't get an illness. Now that they saw that they were still getting the illness, still getting sick, still spreading it, we had to change the definition, right? So they did. Now, Fauci is saying, well, we have to change another definition. Fully vaccinated. Before it was, you got your first dose and your second dose and you were fully vaccinated and you were protected. And then they said, well, no, that's not actually gonna cut it now because we need booster shots. So now the definition of a fully vaccinated person is somebody who is up to date on their shots. No number. No final number. They didn't say third, fourth, fifth, sixth. No, it's going to go on forever. Was it Belgium? I think it was Belgium that said they are going to require up to 6 shots per year. Now, for all those people out there that got the shot and you're doing fine, how comfortable are you with the fact, like say you got 2, maybe you even got 3, maybe you got your booster and you're 3 shots in right now. And you're hearing about people having some medical problems and stuff like that out there. And I'm not saying that you're going to be one, but how comfortable are you with the thought of getting 4, 5, 6 shots a year for the rest of your life? Is that something that you're comfortable with? Do you really think that the body is going to take that kind of cumulative dose of this type of technology, this type of vaccine, and you're going to be issue-free for the rest of your life? Are you willing to roll that dice, take that gamble? I mean, I know the people in Hoboken are lining up to get their third shot and their fourth shot, and they'll line up to get their 25th shot while they're wearing 3 masks. I know it. But for people who are actually relatively sane and free thinking, I mean, how many shots are you comfortable with? What other disease, what other illness out there are they telling you to get 5 vaccination shots per year, 6 shots per year? Now, I know that hasn't happened yet, but they're talking about it in Belgium. They're talking about it in other places in Europe that this is what's going to have to happen, a yearly thing, right? That's another thing that we said, that this is going to be every year. Once we found out that the shot didn't actually stop the illness, it opened up the floodgates. Because if it doesn't work, and if the efficacy wears off after a few months, you've got to keep getting shots every year or every half year, or like Belgium, 5, 6 times a year. You comfortable with that? We said it early on. And they called us crazy and they called us conspiracy theorists. Here we are today, proven true once again, right? Proven right. Once the vaccine didn't work for the original virus, and once it didn't work for Delta and people were still getting infected, what did we say early on? We said, well, if it doesn't work for these two, it's not going to work for future ones. And you're going to wind up having to take a new vaccine for every single variant that comes out, or at least tons of boosters. No, you're wrong, right? The drug companies came out and said, well, actually, they said, yeah, maybe, because of course they want to come up with a new vaccine. But Biden and Walensky and Fauci originally came out, and of course all the liberal media came out and said, no, you know, the vaccines are going to work. They're going to work against the variants. Nope, we were right again. Who were the first ones to say that little kids were going to get the shots? The original shots were for what, 12 and older or 15 and older, and then we kept saying they're going to keep lowering the age down until we're shooting babies full of this stuff. And the leftist media, oh my God, these Republicans and they're anti-vax and they're conspiracy theorists and they're nutcases and they're just trying to scare everybody and they're causing deaths. They're killing people because they're making people afraid of the virus. How dare they say that children are going to get the vaccine? Where are we today, right? Your kid can't even go to school without getting the shot, right? And what age are they lowering it down to? Little toddlers. 1, 2 years old. Now they're talking about, Fauci was talking about having one ready for infants. Okay? Again, go back in time. Go back 2 years. Would you have accepted this for a disease with a 99.9% survival rate? And that includes the old people. I mean, old people, you're talking about the super elderly, you know, they might only have a 95% chance. But look, if a 90-year-old catches any disease, what chance do they have? Okay, it's not like this is an absolute killer. This is not a death sentence getting this illness. But we're treating it like it is. Why are we treating it like it is? Why are they treating it like it is? To seize power. We just talked about the third and the fourth shot, right? We talked about how they were going to change the definition. So now it's, you have to be up to date on your shots. And we've been told that's never going to happen. Once you get the shots, you're fully vaccinated and you're fine and you can go back to normal life. Well, here's an article from the Gateway Pundit from Germany, okay? Germany, double vaccinated, no longer allowed into restaurants without taking tests. Only the triple vaxxed are allowed inside. So there they are, moving the goalpost down, okay? Here's a guy tweeting, in the German city of Hamburg, the double vaccinated will no longer be allowed to eat in restaurants without also taking tests. Only the triple vaccinated will be allowed without having to take tests. So if you're not up to date on your shots, and right now it's 3 for them, but soon it's going to be 4, soon it's going to be 5. So if you got double vaccinated and you thought, my life's going back to normal, finally this COVID is ending. No. Says only those who have received the booster shot will be able to attend restaurants, cultural and sporting events indoors in the city without testing, meaning that double vaccinated are no longer considered vaccinated. The 2G plus rule now requires those who have been double vaccinated to show their COVID passport and provide a negative test result before entering a number of restaurants, cultural and indoor sporting events. Unvaccinated people no longer have access to such activities, according to Senate spokesman Markus Schweitzer. So if you're unvaccinated in Germany, you can't go anywhere. The only place you can basically go is outside, and I think you can still go do your food shopping, and then that's basically it. But you're not going into a theater. You're not going into a store, a bookstore, or anything like that. You're not going into a bar to have a beer or a restaurant to have dinner with your family. No way, right? That's over for you. But it's also becoming over for you even if you are vaccinated. And here's the funny thing about this, right? So if you've got 2 vaccinations in Germany, in this town anyway, that's going to spread. It's in Hamburg. If you got 2 shots, you have to show a test to show that you're negative. But you have 3, you don't. But here's the funny thing. Most of the people in Germany that are winding up COVID positive and winding up in the hospital are fully vaccinated with their booster shot. Same in Israel, same in the Netherlands, same in Iceland. All of these European countries are releasing their data now saying, the people that are winding up COVID positive and winding up in the hospital are vaccinated. So what sense does this make to say that if you've got 2 vaccinations, you can't participate? If you have 3, you can. Like the third, like the guy with the third dose is immune from COVID? No, he can be positive just like anybody else. He can be spreading it just like anybody else. He could wind up in the hospital just like anybody else. In France, where they have let me see which one it is. It's a new variant that they're just talking about now. IHU. I don't know if they're calling it EHU or whatever. I haven't watched the news to figure out what they're saying about it, but it's IHU. And this one has 46 mutations, right? That's the one detected in France. So it's been linked to travel in Cameroon. There's like 12 people that have it. Keep in mind, the more variations, the more mutations that a virus has, the weaker it becomes. That's why Omicron, with its 30-something mutations compared to the other ones, is maybe more transmissible, maybe not, because remember the CDC revised the numbers down. But even if it is more transmissible, and that's what's giving us these record high 1 million cases a day in the United States, think about that, the fact that not many people are winding up in the hospital and the death rate is way, way, way down. So it's not as severe, all right? That's actually going to help with herd immunity. as long as this variant and this new variant from France, if that winds up spreading around the world, as long as you get natural immunity from that, fine. Right? It's just getting weaker and weaker and weaker. But Macron, going back to what we were talking about before, well, actually, let's say another thing that we said that was going to happen was is that the liberals, the governments, were going to create a class society. Okay, it was going to be the vaxxed and the unvaxxed, which is what we just saw in that little article about Germany. People who get the vaccination and they do what the government tells them to do are going to get the vaccine passport, and they're going to be able to live their lives. They can go out to restaurants, they can go out to theater, they can do the fun things that the cities have to offer. Now, that even goes all the way back to Roman times, where they said, give them bread and entertainment, and keep them fed and keep them entertained, and they're not going to fight back. Okay, that's what they're trying to do with the vaccine passport for now, until they really, really use it for tyranny. It's a way to give people a reward. Do exactly what we tell you to do, and you can go out with your family and get a pizza. Here's an article from Gateway Pundit again. This is Macron. Macron vows to piss off the unvaxxed, says someone who refuses the COVID vaccine is not a citizen. Not a citizen. So, sorry, people of France, but if you didn't get vaccinated, and possibly now that means if you didn't get your booster shot too, because if you don't have all of your shots, you're not vaccinated. So he's talking to the unvaxxed here. If you've been living, you were born in France, raised in France, living there your whole life, you've got a house, you got a wife, you got kids, you've been working your whole life and paying off a mortgage and everything else. You're not even a citizen of France anymore if you're not vaccinated. Isn't that interesting? I don't know who you're a citizen of, where you're a citizen of, but apparently, according to Macron, you're not a citizen of France. We warned about this months and months and months ago, and they called us nuts. And now you have the president of France saying he wants to piss off the unvaxxed and says that they're not citizens. Listen to this quote. The unvaccinated, I really want to piss them off, and so we're going to continue doing so until the end. That's the strategy, Macron said in an interview with Le Parisien. I have no clue if I even came close on that. Le Parisien, in English. I won't send the unvaccinated to prison. I won't vaccinate by force. So we need to tell them from January 15th, you won't be able to go to the restaurant anymore. You won't be able to down one. I'm assuming he's talking about going to a bar and having a beer or something, or a glass of wine. Won't be able to have a cup of coffee, go to the theater, the cinema, he added. So he wants to make life an absolute living hell for you. A COVID passport will be required in order to enter restaurants, bars, theaters, other indoor venues beginning January 15th. Tourists visiting France will have to show a proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test via a digital passport. Now, Le Pen, who is the conservative, responded to this. She said, a president shouldn't say that. The guarantor of the unity of the nation persists in dividing it and assumes that he wants to make the unvaccinated second-class citizens. Emmanuel Macron is unworthy of his office. In April, I will be the president of all French people, Le Pen said. I sure hope so. What are some of the other things that we said early on? All right. Unvaccinated people not being able to keep their jobs. When in America did you ever think that trying to maintain some autonomy of your own health in your own body on a disease that they obviously have no clue about because they keep changing the story every couple of months? They tell you to trust the science, but then they can't keep up with it. They keep changing. Now, if you keep changing your story and you're the one that's in authority and you keep telling me something that turns out not to be true a month later, why should I trust you? Right? And why should I trust the fact that I should just put this vaccine in my body? I mean, again, if you want to take the vaccine and you want to vaccinate yourself as many times as they tell you, go ahead. But for the people that have a healthy dose of skepticism and want to make sure that this is all going to be fine and they're not putting a poison into their system or they're not going to have a reaction, they should be able to have that autonomy, right? But no. And people are losing their jobs over it. We said the unvaccinated were going to be unable to work, and here we go. Now, a lot of the mandates are being shot down in the federal courts. Joe Biden the other day conceded that there's no federal
solution to COVID and said he turned it back over to the states, which is what he criticized Donald Trump for saying months and months ago before the election, right? So if there's no federal solution, then what is a mandate? All of the Republican governors, 100% of them, all of the Republican members of the House and Senate should be up in arms getting rid of the mandate, demanding it be repealed, demanding that the Democrats, you know, strip any idea of a national mandate. Are they doing it? No, because we don't have a party. Few people are doing it. You know, DeSantis and some other Republicans are you know, up in arms about it. We have maybe a handful. Every time that there's a Republican fighting back against the system and fighting against the Democrats, it's the same five or six of them. The rest of them, nothing. If the president of the United States himself basically says there's nothing that the federal government can do to stop this, then what are your national mandates about? You got to repeal those. You're admitting it's not going to work. All of these people that have lost their jobs over these mandates that decided, I know I have to feed my family, but I am not comfortable taking this vaccine, and they wound up getting pink slipped. These people are owed their jobs back. They're owed compensation. I mean, this is absolutely insane. And we called it right from the very beginning. It happened. Possibly now all of that's going to get repealed, and maybe these people are going to be able to get back to work. I mean, look at some of the healthcare workers. They were told to leave if they weren't vaccinated, and now you have healthcare facilities, hospitals bringing back people into the workforce who are unvaccinated, and some of them are even COVID positive, but they're so short in staff, they're not able to keep the hospitals running. So they're bringing people back. This kind of thing never should have happened, but we saw who was in charge. We called it from the beginning. We were called conspiracy theorists, and it turned out to be true. And possibly what I think is maybe the worst one, because it scares me because of history and it's not happening here yet, but you know, I mean, never say never, but look at Australia. We said that they would wind up separating people into camps, right? Taking people to, you know, we said they would probably be taken away to FEMA centers, but the Australians beat us to it, and they're putting people into camps in Australia. Well, we've heard about this story for months now. Now, when they started it, what they basically said was that these camps were going to be for foreign travelers, you know, landing in Australia, and if they tested positive, they would be taken to one of these facilities. It would be comfortable, or they'd be, you know, away from the population. It would be a safe place to quarantine for your 14 days until you test negative, and then you can go about your vacation and blah, blah, blah. That was how it was sold in the beginning. Now, police are showing up to the citizens in Australia and dragging them off to these camps if they are unvaccinated or if they have been contact traced, if they come in contact with somebody who's positive and they refuse to quarantine and all that, these people get dragged off and put in one of these camps. We haven't seen anything like this since the 40s, since the late 30s. And I'm not going to start talking about who it is because I don't want to get the episode pulled. But how different is this? Did you ever think in a country like Australia, you would see people put behind barbed wire with guards because they have a disease that most people get the sniffles? And I'm not downplaying COVID. Like, I almost lost a friend and her father to COVID. I know that it's not, I hate when people on our side say it's nothing but a cold or even less than the common cold. No, it isn't. For a lot of people, it is. For a lot of people that get it, they don't even know they had it. Okay. For a lot of people, maybe they get a headache. Maybe they get some body aches. Maybe they get the sniffles. It's not that big of a deal. It's like having a regular cold. For whatever reason, for some people that get it, they're dead in 3 days, or they're almost dead, or they have symptoms that linger on for 6 months. My friend still can't taste or smell anything. All right. She still has respiratory issues. She got it months ago, 5 months ago, she got it. Okay. No, it's not the common cold. So stop saying stupid stuff like that. It's a biological weapon from China. This thing was manufactured and it was set loose, and it was set loose to do this, to transfer power from all of us and from representative government into the hands of a very small number of people who do not have our best interests at heart. They have their interests at heart. They want to bring in the Great Reset. They want to consolidate their power even further. They want to make it harder for us to vote and put in the kind of people that we need in government. That's why places like California did that. And that's why Chuck Schumer is trying to nationalize elections now at this point. And all it's going to take, this, and we're going to segue into this now, and then we'll end the episode. All it's going to take is if that bill, I think it's called HR1, if that bill gets passed and nationalizes elections to the point where now you can ballot harvest, and you get universal mail-in ballots, and that, a mail-in ballot is going to be mailed out to every single person in the country. Okay. It's over. The democracy's over. Now that has to pass the Senate. So far, Sinema and Manchin are on our side and they're saying that they're not going to vote, but Manchin is one of the ones that is starting to waver a little bit on. He's starting to get a little bit shaky legs. If you do nothing at all, one thing that you should do is you should call Manchin, call his office. Doesn't matter that you're not from West Virginia. They're going to try and say, ask you, if you want to make it even fine, go look up a fake address in West Virginia and say you're from there. It doesn't matter. But I would call, email, fax, text, go on Twitter if you're on Twitter and tweet him and everything else and say to him, you need to vote no on this bill. Same with Sinema. They need to hear and feel the pressure. Chuck Schumer himself, who was trying to get this bill passed, said a few years ago that passing, getting rid of the filibuster so that they can, ram this through would be the end of democracy. And now that is exactly what he's trying to do. He's trying to end the filibuster so that they can get get this thing passed. And if they do, it's going to make us fixing that, getting back into power and righting the ship 1,000 times more difficult. We've already seen that after the 2020 election, it's a lot harder for them to cheat in certain places because they don't have enough of the same cooperation that they did in 2020. Like if you look in Virginia, how well we did in Virginia, okay? One of the things that's different is not only did we have great turnout to blow past their built-in cheating, but we had a lot more Republicans getting involved in the election as poll watchers, looking for cheating and everything else. That's one of the things that they can't always do if we participate. But if they get this passed, they can. So put a lot of pressure on Manchin and Sinema. That's extremely important. All right, I think we went long enough for today. I think we're probably, 45, 50 minutes into this thing. We covered a lot of topics. It wasn't too bad. I mean, I know it was mostly COVID, and I know it sounds bad, but we are fighting back. I wanted to point out in my area that there's a lot of people that are just complying without any kind of a sense of questioning at all. They're just, oh, well, this is what the mayor says, so I guess that's what I need to do. And what I'm trying to show you is beware of this kind of complicity. I fought back in my own little way. I went into the store without my mask. I'm avoiding businesses in Hoboken because I don't want to wear a mask. I'm not going to give them my money, right? So I'm choosing to go other places. I'm choosing to shop in other locations where I'm still free. I wrote to the mayor. I pointed out, articles about the masks and them being ineffective and stuff like that. So I'm doing my little part. And even if it doesn't matter, look, what are the chances that the mayor even reads that or one of his aides brings this to him and says, hey, mayor, we got an email from Robert here. And he says, no, that's not going to happen. But at least I did it. At least I can say that I did it. Okay. Everybody out there, if they start trying to pull this nonsense where you live, if you're in a red state and you've got a wavering governor, you've got a wavering mayor who thinks it's going to be a good idea to reinstitute all this nonsense to try to keep you safe, that's not what it's for. Okay. And maybe they're just misinformed, but you need to get vocal. You need to not comply with this nonsense. People are fighting it all over the world. You're not going to see it on the news, but if you dig for it, you can see all the protests going on in Europe. You can see all the protests going on in Germany and the Netherlands and France and everything else, people are still fighting and fighting and fighting. And if none of this was working, if none of our protests were working, if none of our information was getting through to people, then why did Biden give up and basically turn it over to the states? Why did he basically say there's no federal solution? Why did the CDC cut the quarantine time from 14 days to 5 days or 10 to 5, whatever it was? Why is the CDC suddenly giving up on the PCR tests and admitting, well, they don't actually work? You know, a lot of false positives. They can't really differentiate between the flu and the coronavirus. And we'll talk about that in another episode. We already have, you know, we know that the flu deaths and the, you know, well, let's briefly talk about it. Flu deaths in the United States every year, 35,000 to 55,000 people a year die of the flu. Nobody ever raised an eyebrow over that, right? 55,000 dead, nothing. Okay. Now, if there were 55,000 deaths, think of how many cases there need to be of the flu, which almost nobody dies of the flu compared to the number of get it. So you're talking about millions and millions and millions of people that get it, tens of millions, right? All of a sudden, during COVID, they said that there were like 400 and something cases last year. Where did the flu go? I'll tell you where it went. The PCR test can't differentiate between the flu and COVID. So if you had the flu, the regular flu, and you took the PCR test, it's going to tell you that you had COVID. Why do you think the COVID numbers are so massive? Do you really think that 35,000 to 55,000 people didn't die in 2020 and 2021 from the regular flu? Of course they did. But where did those numbers go? They got added on to the tally of the COVID deaths. Okay? This is all nonsense. That's all coming to an end. Now the CDC is saying, well, we can't rely on the PCR test anymore. If our information wasn't getting through, then how is this happening? It is getting through. We are making changes. So keep it up. Keep fighting. Don't comply. And this is all going to end for them soon. How many more variants can they come up with? When all of these people aren't actually at the hospital dying, what are they going to tell us? We're going to win this, and we're going to win this fast, but only if we do not comply. They try to come at you now with something as ridiculous as another mask mandate. You're in a red state. Fight it. The sooner we join together, the sooner that we actually do believe in science, the faster this is going to be over. Then we can really get our lives back. All right, that's it for today. If you enjoyed the episode, please hit the subscribe button. If you know people that would like it as well, pass it along to them. I hope you guys have a great week, and I'll talk to you again soon. Take care.